Namaskar.
Bienvenue.
I'm from Bangalore, India.
Dublin, Ireland.
Turkey.
The Philippines.
This is Feet in Tours.
I came here to study.
To work. To volunteer.
Build a life of my own.
Welcome to Feet in Two Worlds.
Esto es Con los Pies en Dos Mundos.
Bir ayağım burada, bir ayağım orada yaşıyorum.
Welcome to Feet in Two Worlds.
I'm standing here on 1st Avenue and 7th Street in Manhattan's East Village in front of a new pop-up Filipino restaurant where food, culture, and politics all come together. I'm John Rudolph, executive producer of Feet in Two Worlds, and this is a new feature of our podcast called Food in Two Worlds. We're in front of Maharlika. We're going to go inside now and meet the owner.
Hi, my name is Nicole Panseca, and I'm one of the partners for Maharlika, Filipino Moderno in New York City.
And we're also here with Christina Pastor, who is a Feet in Two Worlds journalist and the founder and publisher of thefilam.net, an online publication for Filipino Americans in the New York metropolitan area. Hi, Christina.
Hi, John. Hi, Nicole.
So, Nicole, this is a Filipino pop-up restaurant. We know what a Filipino restaurant is, but what's a pop-up?
Sure. Pop-up is a limited restaurant, limited-term restaurant, that can grow into something more. It could be a novelty idea that is meant to only be one night, two nights, a temporary restaurant that grows into something more permanent. In an economy where you might find skittish investors, and though you may find an angel investor or someone who could be interested in your idea, the fact of the matter is 9 out of 10 restaurants fail. And a pop-up was a means for us to get the business started with very limited funds and get the idea out there, build our brand, build the following, figure out rights and wrongs, figure out what real estate works, what kind of service works, without doing it on a $500,000 lease budget.
So, let's talk about the food. What is it that you're serving here that is unique, that's drawing people in, that you're experimenting with in this pop-up format?
We are producing modern Filipino cuisine, which is ironic in that we are going back to our roots to make the food more modern. There's the irony.
So give me an example of what that would be.
Sure. Where in other restaurants are opening, Filipino restaurants are opening prepackaged meats and frying it up, we do take the time to cure our meats. We do season things and marinate things for quite a while. Nothing here is prefabricated. Everything here is homemade. And we wanted to honor the flavors, we wanted to honor the cooking styles of our ancestors, and give honor back to the Philippine community, who I think deserves to have food that they're really proud of and proud to share with non-Filipinos.
I like that one of the dishes is named after Imelda Marcos. It's, I think, called Eggs Imelda.
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about that? What goes into that dish?
Sure. Eggs Imelda, and I'd like to also say that we have another dish called Eggs Benigno. Eggs Imelda.
These are on the brunch menu.
Yeah, that's right. Eggs Imelda is an homage to Eggs Florentine. But this is an example where we've taken a dish and make it 100% Filipino. So instead of English muffin, we use homemade pandesal. And instead of cream spinach, we're using laing. And for the listeners out there, yeah, laing is creamed taro root leaves. And it's stewed with coconut milk and bagoong. And it's a regional dish, has a little bit of spice to it. And instead of hollandaise, we're using calamansi hollandaise. And it's also paired with 2 large tiger prawn head-on, we eat it at home. And instead of home fries, we use camote fries, which I learned in some of my travels. I traveled for almost 3 months to the Philippines. So in Sagada, they eat a lot of camote fries. So not necessarily Filipino by by creation, by Filipino, by imagination.
Why Imelda?
Sure. If you get the opportunity to come to Maharlika, you'll get some eager people who are just happy to see Filipino food. And you get some generational folk that are actually quite astounded to the point of being upset that we would pick such a political figure to name a dish. And I understand that. There's a lot of hurt hearts out there, and the ramifications of that regime, I understand, touches very close to home. But to that controversy, I say, thank you. Thank you for being exasperated. Thank you for talking about it. Thank you for keeping the spirit of the history alive. I had the opportunity to walk by a table and see two young girls in their 20s, and both Filipino. And one of them actually said, well, who is Imelda? Who is this? And the other was dumbfounded, too. She said, I don't know, something about shoes, right? And how funny we could just take it with such levity. But then a table next to them, two older Lolas, were actually insulted that they did not know. But lighthearted way, like, bakit naman? How come you don't know? And the exchange between the two tables in an intimate dining setting schooled the two younger folk and kept the history of Philippines alive. And also remember, the sooner to reenact history is the soonest to forget it. So it's so important that it's not just this light food, or it's actually quite cultural what we're trying to do here.
So they like the food, but not the name.
They like the some do.
Some do. Okay.
And once I get the opportunity to talk with them, they more often than not still have that pounding heart feeling. But I've had really wonderful conversations that people understand the need to be provocative and to keep the conversation going.
So you're deliberately making your menu provocative.
In a way, yeah. I would like people to keep talking about their culture. And I can only say this being Filipino-American. I can't speak being born and raised in the Philippines. But I would say I represent, and the team here, Enzo, Castro, we all represent a perspective of the Philippines. Mine being my parents not teaching me Tagalog, my parents really driving me to become American so that we wouldn't be considered different.
You were born here?
Yes, sir. Yeah. And more Philams really connect with that sadness that we don't speak the language, that we know the food, but we really even don't know most of our relatives back home, aside from immediate first cousins. And I did it also because if we don't start holding on to our culture now, it's going to become more and more and more and more further away. And what better way to really connect than through food? A lot of people can't afford, say, a $1,000 airplane ticket to go back to the Philippines, but they can certainly afford a $50 dinner amongst three friends and connect to say, my mom used to cook like that, or my dad made this, or it's not as good as my mom. That's still okay. All those things is really enjoyable because it brings us closer to our culture.
There are so many Asian cuisines that are well known to New Yorkers,
Absolutely.
To Americans. Filipino food remains pretty much off the radar screen.
Yeah.
Why is that?
You could say pad thai, and 80% of people would know what you're talking about. I could say pancit to 80% of people, and maybe two people would know.
What is pancit?
It's pancit.
Just to prove your point.
Pancit is noodle-based dishes, and they could be prepared in any number of ways with any number of different types of noodles. It could be noodles with bihon, and it's pancit bihon, or pancit canton, which is a thicker noodle. So what I'm trying to say is that, to your question, why Filipino food hasn't crossed over where Vietnamese, Thai, Malaysian, Chinese, Japanese. I mean, look, Did you even think 20 years ago people would be eating raw fish at a baseball game? Okay? So
you're referring to sushi at Citi Field, where the Mets play.
Absolutely. But our food, so exotic in some ways, and so approachable. And I think it needed a group of people, a team, a family, to want to provide better service, better ambiance, better preparation, better presentation, honoring our roots, to make it cross over. And
is that what you're trying to do here, is to cross it over to a mainstream audience that's not Filipino, that's not familiar with Filipino cuisine?
Goal number one, make Filipinos proud. For many years, I was in advertising, and I had an expense account to boot. This is in the dot-com days, when there was a lot of money to give around, okay? And my clients would say, let's go try Filipino food. And although I had cravings for carranderias, for Elvis Toro Toro, for Cristal's in Queens, at the time, we were all going to Nobu, Peter Luger's, and I didn't feel confident that a Filipino restaurant could stand up to the competitive market.
Because the lack of quality or lack of integrity in the food or just unfamiliarity?
Well, those foods are made with lots of love. I'd have to say, I can only assume that these fellow restaurateurs that opened did it out of love for their countrymen to bring food to them because they were so far away from home. But I think it lacked a competitive nature. I think they lacked a sense to say, we are just as good as Nobu, or we are just as good as a spice market. No one said that we are as good as them. And I think it, deep-rooted, it has a lot to do with hiat, which is a shame, or it has to deal with the politics of colonialism when you think that other cultures are more valuable than yours, that it took a group to say, we are just as good. And these are the reasons why. We have a loving sense of hospitality. We have great ambiance. We have great natural resources like bamboo and nara wood that we have never explored to say this is wholly Filipino. So to your question, the goal was to make Filipinos proud. Second goal, make a stand for Filipino food in the culinary world, which, by example, would mean crossing over.
How is the community responding to your new restaurant?
The support is really embracing, and it feels so good to see something you've worked on materialize. But I did speak to some Filipinos who were born there, and they told me something about a crab mentality.
In our community, it's quite popular concept where if somebody is doing very well, is apparently successful, some people try to pull that person down. That's why they call it the crab mentality, right?
I think so.
Yeah. What exactly are you hearing?
Well, for example, I think people don't really like the portion sizes. I see that a lot, that they say, oh, we could get better portions in Queens. I've heard that many, many, many times. And it kind of stings a little bit because the reason why is so that we can provide a better quality dish. It's all about food costs in the end, right? That it's not, no way are we trying to gyp anybody, but you have to count running a business.
I noticed you have a bar here,
yes,
and there's a chalkboard where you would normally see maybe the drink of the day or the special of the day. What you have is the Tagalog word of the day. And what is it?
Today's word is celosa. And we've had other words today, chismis, we've had mabuhay. So it's
are these all food terms?
No, not at all. Celosa means jealous. We had one 2 weeks ago, shota, S-Y-O-T-A. Do you know what shota means?
I don't.
Shota is a short-time girlfriend or a short-time boyfriend. Not necessarily someone you're going to marry, but someone you wouldn't mind taking out to dinner a couple times.
Now you know.
Now you know.
Nicole Ponseca is general manager of Maharlika, a Filipino pop-up restaurant in Manhattan's East Village. We also heard from Christina Pastor, founder and editor of thephilam.net, an online publication for Filipino Americans in the New York area. The producers of this podcast are Sarah Kate Kramer and Jocelyn Gonzalez. Be sure to check back with us for future Food in Two Worlds podcasts. I'm John Rudolph. Thanks for listening.
Feet in Two Worlds is supported by the New York Community Trust and the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, with additional support from the Mertz Gilmore Foundation and the Cyrus Fund. This program was produced in association with the CUNY Graduate School of Journalism and CUNY TV. Feet in Two Worlds brings the work of immigrant journalists to public radio and the web. We are a project of the Center for New York City Affairs at the New School. Visit our website at news.feetintoworlds.org.